Turn with me to John 15. John 15. We continue our studies through the blessed Gospel of John. Our Lord, throughout this Gospel, has called Himself the bread of life, the water of life. John called Him the light, the light of the world. He's called Himself the good shepherd, the way, the truth, the life. And here He's going to tell us that He's the vine, the true vine. Let's read these verses, verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in Me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in Me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in Me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in Me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without Me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in Me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in Me, and My words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is My Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be My disciples. Over in chapter 13, it tells us that it was nighttime when Judas did his dark deed. It was nighttime. He went out. It was dark. They'd been sitting at a table in an upper room. They'd been sitting, as you know, partaking of the Lord's table and supping with our Savior, with Him. And down in verse 31 of chapter 14, see this, verse 31, the last line, He says, "Arise, let us go hence." He says, "Get up and let us go hence." There's so much in every line, everywhere. He did not tell them where they were going. He never did. But they followed Him, just like sheep followed their shepherd. He knew where He was going. That's all they need to know. He did not tell them where He was going, but He knew. And it's our faith to simply follow Him. Just follow Him. And it's our comfort in knowing that He knows where He's leading us at all times. He knows. He leadeth me. Oh, blessed thought. Oh, words with heavenly comfort fraught. Wherever I go, wherever I be, it's God that leadeth me. All the way. All the way. He said in Isaiah 46, "From your cradle to your grave, I've carried you the whole way." Isn't that a blessing? It's a blessing. So, it's our prayer. It's our desire to follow Him, isn't it? Seek His will and walk in it. I remember reading this verse as a young believer years ago, and it stuck with me, and it's been my heart's prayer ever since. Psalm 119:33, "Order my steps in Thy word. Let not any iniquity have dominion over me." Isn't that your heart's prayer? Order my steps in Thy word. Meaning, may I follow You. Follow You. Everywhere I go, whatever I do. Whatever I do. He said in Psalm 25, "Show me Thy ways, O Lord. Teach me Thy paths. Lead me in Thy truth. Teach me. Thou art my God." You remember our scripture verse for Monday? It said, Psalm 86, "Teach me Thy way, O Lord. I will walk in Thy truth." So, He knew where he was going. He knew where he was leading them. And it's our desire and our prayer that he would show us the way wherein we would walk and walk him. Follow him in every way. Now, he's going before them. He always did. He's leading them. They should have known where he was going because he was prone to go to this certain place. Look at chapter 18 of John, verses 1 and 2. Chapter 18, 1 and 2. And our Lord had spoken. He went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, into which it's the Garden of Gethsemane, into the which he entered, and his disciples, Judas knew. He knew the place because that's where he oft times, where Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. He took them quite often to the Mount of Olives. This garden is there. Olivet, Mount of Olives in the Garden of Gethsemane. If you want to find the Lord, that's where he's going to be. That's where he leads his disciples. The Mount of Olives. This mountain that had trees growing, olive trees. How much is said in Scripture of olive tree? Christ is the tree. He's going to tell us in a moment that he is the vine. But listen to Zechariah's prophecy. Zechariah prophesied this. I'll read it for you. He said, his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives, that's where he shall stand. And so it is, according to Scripture. He led them to the Mount of Olives. He himself is that olive tree, which we receive the oil of gladness from. The Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane means olive press. This garden in which was the olive press. This is where our Lord is going to go to pray that great prayer and be pressed down with the weight of our sin and bleed, sweat, blood, like olives crushed. You know, the light of the lamp in the temple was made, and the God specified it, make sure it's crushed olives, pressed olives, crushed. Garden of Gethsemane. To pray. That's where he led them. He's going there to pray with them. He tells them, he tells us, always pray. Men ought always to pray. He did. He did. He could be found in this place of prayer. He led them to prayer and he led them in prayer. He said this, my house shall be called a house of prayer. May that be said of this house. I believe it is. Let this house be called his house of prayer. And it's a garden. It's a garden. You remember Song of Solomon? I'll not go back there. I wanted to. Song of Solomon. Where is my beloved, she said. I can't find him. Well, he's in his garden. That's where you'll find him. This is where you'll find the Lord. His people he calls a garden. Oh, come, O north wind, blow, O south, blow upon my garden. Let the spices thereof flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat the pleasant fruits thereof. Fruits. So, he's leading them to the garden. Now, they leave this upper room in which I'm sure there were candles or whatever, and they walk. Now, they're outside walking in darkness. How does he know where he's going in the dark? How can he see in the dark? Well, Psalm 139 says the light and the dark are alike to him. No, no. Christ is the light. In thy light we see light. It says in Revelation 21 that the city had no need of the sun. The Lamb is the light. So he's leading his children out of darkness into the light. He didn't need any artificial light. He is the light. Okay? His enemies came to get him with lanterns and torches and weapons. And they still didn't see him. You know that? They still didn't know where he was. And he had to come out and say, "Whom seek ye?" We know who he is. How? In the light of his word. In the light of his word. See, we are a people who sat in darkness, but we've seen a great light. Upon us hath the great light, which is Christ himself, shines. We're not in darkness, even as others. In his light, we see light. This world's a dark place. Go back and read that, Isaiah 8, 9, for yourself. It says, they'll look to the earth, they'll look for some help, some hope and all that. It's all dimness and darkness and anguish of spirit. That's this world. Oh, but God's people have light. It says in Exodus that there was darkness in the land of Egypt. Everywhere. So much so you could feel it. But the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Every one of them had light. The light, which is Christ himself. How does he know where he's going in the dark? And we're not in the dark. He leadeth us. Just follow him. You'll not stumble. Didn't he say that? He kept saying that. If you walk in the light, you won't stumble. That is, walk by faith, looking to him. Looking to him. So they walked to where he was wont to go. The old scriptural term, I love that, wont. It means always going there. What he was wont to do. He was always going where he was wont to go. And as he was wont to do, apt to do, he started teaching them. There was rarely a time he was walking with them that he didn't teach them. You know, Paul wrote to young Timothy and said, these are the requirements of a bishop, a pastor. He said, a bishop must be blameless. Christ is our great bishop and shepherd of the sheep. Blameless, holy, harmless, blameless, separate from sin. He goes on to say, John, that a bishop must be apt to teach. Always teaching. That's his, what he's wont to do. That's his habit of doing. And that's what he did. Always teaching them. Always teaching. I love the thought that every word out of his mouth was a revelation to them. Did you hear that? Everything he said, they'd look at each other. Did you hear that? I've never heard anything like that. Every day, day in and day out. And he said so much, and they, so much magnificent, wonderful things that they understood not. It took them 10, 20, or 30 years later to get it all, to take it all in. I love the thought that every now and then something would happen. And say, that's what he said. Isn't it so with you? You read something, it doesn't register with you, and later on, I remember. So he was apt to teach, and so he started teaching them. So he says in chapter 15, verse 1, I am. You want us to just stop there a minute? I am. Don't you love this book? That's where he starts. He's going to teach them what? Who? I am. What are you?
Everything. All in all.
I am. This is he who was, who is, who ever shall be, the same. Jesus Christ, the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. The same, he said, that I told you in the beginning. Same God in Exodus 3, that in John 15. I am. I am. Jehovah, I am. I am means unchanging. Aren't you glad in a changing world that our Lord does not change? His word doesn't change. His promises don't change. His covenant doesn't change. He doesn't change. No shadow of turning. That's all our hope. Who he is, what he says, what he does, always the same. He said, and as to begin this, as reminded you, and he said, I am the bread. There's no bread that satisfies the crowd. I am the water of this world will leave you thirsty. He said, I am the water. He said, I am the door. I am The door, definite article, only the door. There's no way into glory but by Christ. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, the life. And here he says, I am the true vine. The true vine. I believe he was probably pointing at, they were walking, pointing at some grapevines. They were walking through this garden where there's this vineyard, grapevines and olive trees. It's a beautiful garden. That's where he loved to go. I'm sure he was pointing at one of these vines, and there were many there. There were many vines everywhere, weren't there? Huh? If you have a vineyard, it's not just one vine. There's many. But our Lord said, I am the vine. The true vine. Meaning, I'm the only one. See, grapes, branches, grapes, fruits come from a vine. Now, I wish I'd have bought that vine up here. You've seen it before. Don't think of a vine, a grapevine, as something little, poor little thing. It has to have something to support it. Mm-mm. I've got one down there. It was 30 years old, about the age of our Lord. You can hang all your weight on it. You can lean on it. That's Christ, the vine. But anyway, he said, I am the vine. The vine. I am the source of everything. He said that. Without me, you can do nothing. Can't bear fruit. You don't know where you're going. You don't know what you're doing. You won't be saved. You don't know anything. I am the source, the vine. Just as the branches receive everything from the vine, the fruit all comes from the vine. Christ said, I am the only source. I am the spring. I am the fountain. I am the well. I am the source. I am the vine. And he said, I'm the true vine. The true vine. Now, there have been many imposters over the years, haven't there? Many imposters. Our Lord said that there would be. He said there would be many coming in his name saying, I am Christ, the Christ. Right? Many false prophets and apostles and so forth. But men that call themselves apostles, they're not. False apostles. Our Lord said, I am the true vine. Truly. Verily. All through John. Verily. Verily. What's that mean? Truth. Truth. Same word as amen. It's the exact same word as amen. 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 I am the true vine. There is no other. There is no other. You won't have life anywhere else. You won't be supported anywhere else. You won't be worth anything anywhere else but in Him. Okay? He said, my father is the husbandman. The husbandman. That's a farmer, isn't it? Farmer, the owner of the earth. God's the owner. The Lord, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. It all belongs to Him, doesn't it? People think they own their farms and their land. And it's borrowed. And the Lord's going to take it back. Going to take it back. It's the Lord's. I remember an old Indian chief one time saying, when the white men were coming out there and claiming land and buying it, they said, how can you buy the earth? That's pretty wise, isn't it? How can you buy or own the earth? The earth is the Lord's. He's the husbandman. He's the farmer. He's the owner of it. He's the planter of everything. Everything that grows, everything that lives, everything that moves and has its being, He's the doer of it. He giveth the increase. Right? He plants, He giveth the increase. He waters, He does it all. So Christ said, I am the only true, or verily, verily, vine, a source of all things, whom the Father hath planted in this earth. The Lord hath put me in this earth. Now, how did He start in this earth? The seed. The woman's seed. Made of a woman. Made under the law. Seed. Remember the seed? We just looked at it. The seed. And he was planted as a seed. And then he grew up as a tender plant. Isaiah 53, as a root out of dry ground. Did not yet appear what he would be. What's this child in this manger around whom all these cattle are lowing and these shepherds are bringing their gifts and singing his praise? Who is this? Who is this child? What child is this? Just wait and you'll see. You'll see. So he grew up as a tender plant, a root out of dry ground. He grew up, became a man, the vine. Oh, that's who this is. The vine, his branches, Kelly read Psalm 80, they cover the whole earth. He said here in verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit. Now, there are many Christians in name only. There are few in truth. Our Lord said this. Many are called, few are chosen. Few are chosen. Many seem to be in Him. Many claim to be in Him. Many say they have faith in Him. But time will tell. Fruit will tell. Yes, it will. No fruit, no root. No union with Christ, no root, no food. Soon, verse 6, he said, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and they're going to be gathered and cast into the fire and burned. That's what he said. Now, you can't truly be in Christ and not bear fruit. Verse 2, he said, every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. You cannot not bear fruit and be in Christ. Okay? You can seem like you're in Christ and not bear fruit. Stay with me. Don't one of you hang your head. Okay? Don't do it. Lift up your head, all right? I'm going to show you. You're going to find out. This fruit is in you. Okay? Now, often you cannot tell for a while if a branch is alive or dead, especially in the springtime. Anybody have crepe myrtle trees? The whole thing looks dead, doesn't it? I'm out there whacking branches, and sometimes I'll bend. Oh, it's alive. And so somebody said, we commit crepe murder because that thing grows so prolifically, you just whack it down. Well, you often can't tell. We're not infallible in our understanding of people and whether they belong to the Lord or not. We're not the ones to be doing the pruning and casting out. Right? I'm sure glad, church didn't get together when I was a young believer and say, he's not one of us. Get him out of here. Aren't you? No, we're not the ones that purge. It says that the Father does. He does this. In the end, when it's all over, he said, let the tares grow up with the wheat, let them all go together, and in the end, the sheep with the goats, he said, in the end, he's going to separate. And yet, our Lord tells us that his people bear this fruit, every branch is truly in him, bringeth forth fruit, but it must be purged in order to bring forth more fruit. We'll get to that in a moment. Now, the fact is, every believer bears fruit. But the sad fact is every believer can't see it in themselves. Is that not right? You think, if I have any, I just can't see it. Like Newton's poem we love so well, when I look within, all is vain and wild. How can I call myself his child? False and full of sin I am. Anybody? Everybody. Every single believer thinks that about himself. But you don't think that about your brother. Huh? You look at your sister or your brother and say, now that they've got fruit. But I don't see any myself. Don't be looking for it. Don't be looking for it. But I'm going to show you. Turn with me. Look at verse 2. He said, Every branch in me, verse 4 and 5, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Verse 5, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Now where in this Bible have you seen in him? Ephesians 1. Many said Ephesians 1. That's right. Turn there. All right. The first fruit of the Spirit is love. Do you love Ephesians 1? You know how many people hate it? You know how many people wish it wasn't in the Bible? You know all my hope of salvation is in Ephesians 1. In two words. Our Lord starts this out by saying you've got to be in me, doesn't it? Where else does he say that? Philippians, Colossians, everywhere. All through the book of John, Ephesians 1. Look at it. Verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption. Want me to go on? Okay, I will. Verse 10, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he's going to gather together in one all things in Christ. Verse 11, in whom we have obtained an inheritance. Verse 12, who first trusted in Christ. Verse 13, in whom you trusted. Do you trust Jesus Christ? Do you, like Paul, say, I want to be found in him? That's where the Lord started. You're in me. If you're in me, if you abide in me, you want to be in him? Do you? Paul said that. Oh, that I might win Christ and be found in him. Do you want to be in Christ? Like Noah and his family in the ark? Do you want to? You know what? You already are. If you know what that means you are. If that gives you joy, love, joy. Does that give you joy to be thought of as being in Christ? Does Ephesians 1 give you joy? That's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. Do you have peace by looking to and trusting in Jesus Christ? Do you? Do you have peace anywhere else but in Christ? You got fruit. You got fruit that other people don't have. Long-suffering. Do you know that everything the Lord sends is for your good? You know that, don't you? Don't you? And you bear it. You bear it. You bear up under it. You know you got to, don't you? And you do. And you know the end is going to be good. You know that, don't you? He does all things well. You got fruit. Gentleness. Did he not tame that wild ass's coat? Goodness. See, I don't have any goodness. Hold on, man. Paul said, I'm persuaded to the Romans, you're full of goodness. If Christ is in you, you got a good man in there. There's an old man. He's still there, and he's a bad one. But there's a new man, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's a good man. He's a good man. The old man bothers you so much. But other people see that good man. God sees that good man. Goodness, gentleness, goodness, faith. Faith. Where's your faith? Who do you trust? Who do you believe? Tell me one word, somebody, anybody, a woman. You got fruit. You got fruit. You want it to grow? You want to have more of that? He's going to purge you. Every single branch. Purge you. So, what is this purging? Go to Hebrews 9 with me. Hebrews 9. Every single branch, there's not one single branch, not one single person that abides in Christ that does not purge. And the word is prune. Pruning. Or pruning involves the removal of dead things, fruitless things that, you know, when you, everybody's in here grown beans, and you go out there and you remove those suckers, don't you? You got to get rid of them, get rid of those suckers. And the Lord will remove the things that are just sucking the life out of us. Dead things. By this purging. Hebrews 9, verse 14. It says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, he offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Now, the first thing God does to all his people is purge them by the gospel of Jesus Christ and him crucified. He's going to get rid of every dead thing, dead work, dead faith, dead whatever. It's all dead. If it's not in Christ, it's dead. He's going to purge your conscience, your mind, your heart, so that you know that all your hope, help, all your salvation, all your righteousness, your sanctification, your redemption is in one, Jesus Christ. Nothing else. Everything else is just a dead whatever. Whatever. And purge your conscience to where every single one of his people say, in my hands, no price I bring. Simply to the cross of Jesus Christ, I cling. I'm going to purge you. There's nothing that will rightly purge us more than seeing Christ crucified. See, if righteousness come by the law, Paul said, Christ died in vain. Now, here's the truth of the matter. Since Christ died, everything else is vain but faith in him. Okay? Purge it. Gospel purge it. It'll purge your passions. Later, Christ have crucified the flesh with the lust thereof. How's that? Well, when these passions arise in us, you start thinking about Christ on that cross. That's why he died. How could I do this? Crucify the flesh. Dead things. Vanities of this world. Nothing will show us the vanity of this world quite like seeing Christ and him crucified. He who was rich, yet for our sakes became poor. Not just poor, of no reputation. Humbled himself. Became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. We've got it so easy. We lack for nothing. We are really still wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Take a good look at Christ on the cross. It'll purge all your thoughts of most of them, the vanities of this world. And he purges us, chapter 12 of Hebrews. Look at chapter 12. He purges us by trials, troubles, afflictions. Every single branch, every single believer in Christ will be tried. Every single person that has faith in Christ, that faith will be tried. We sing that song, some through the waters, some through the flood. No. All through the waters. All through the blood. Or flood. All through the fire. And all through the blood. Every one of them. Every one of God's people go through deep waters at some point in their life. Every single one of God's people go through fiery trials. The Lord sends them all to purge us. If we belong to him. When you look at Job and his three friends, if you were a casual observer and came by and looked, and there Job sits in ashes scraping the boils off his body. He's lost everything and everyone. He's in great sorrow and great pain and great affliction lying there. And his three friends, they have it all. Good health. They haven't lost anybody or anything. They pull up on the finest camel or whatever. Got all this nice clothing. Job's sitting in ashes. Who does God love?
Huh? Tell me, who is being blessed here?
Who is the man who has the fruit here? The root? He said that the root of the matter is in me.
How do you know? Whom he loves, he chastens.
He purges. Look at Hebrews 12. Did I say 12? Yes. Verse 1, we have a great cloud of witnesses of people that go through these things in chapter 11. Verse 4, you haven't resisted unto blood striving against sin. Who did? Christ did. Whose sin? My sin. The disciples were asleep. He's sweating blood, brother. How about us? All the time. All the time. Now verse 7, he says, if you endure, verse 6, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth. Whipping. Did your dad whip you, John? Wasn't nearly enough, was it? Did your dad love you? He still loves you then. Did he whip your neighbor's kids? As much as he'd like to. So you and Stephen grew up. Did your dad ever go whip Stephen? Did Joe ever whip you? No. Your father loved you. Scourged you. He thought. And he would say, he might have even said this, it's going to hurt me worse than it hurt you. I never did believe that. Did you? I do now. I do now. That's what it says. Whom the Father loveth, he chasteneth. Verse 8, if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you're bastards. You don't belong to the Lord. So every vine, every branch in Christ he purges. Go back to the text real quickly. Back to the text. So there's purging by trials and troubles. And now there's no fruit without abiding in him. He kept saying this to me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. It's nothing. It's God that worketh in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Paul said, I labored more abundantly than them all. Yet, not I, but Christ. By the grace of God I am. So, but everyone that dwells in him, everyone that abides in him, how many times does he say this? Abide in me. Seven times. Seven times. In seven verses. What's that mean? Well, don't we abide in him? Yes, we do. Why does he tell us to? Huh? Do you know? Are we saved by keeping his commandment? No. He said so. If you love me, keep my commandment. It's a commandment. It's the Father telling his children. It's he's approving, rebuking, exhorting. Exhorting. Abide in me. What's that mean? Abide, I looked up the word. It means to stay. Stay. Stayed upon Jehovah. Stay. It means to continue. It means to continue. In Colossians 1, Paul said, you're saved if you continue in the faith. Didn't it? And be not moved away from the gospel. What's that mean? Exactly what you think it means. Abide in that. Stay. Continue. Dwell. The word abide means to dwell. It means to live with. It means to commune with. It means those who are truly married. Those who are truly married, in love. You dwell together, don't you? You abide together. You abide with one another. You're in love. In life. Joy. Sorrow. Pain. Suffering. Everything. Together in it. You abide. You're in the same house together.
You're not married if you don't come home. Are you?
You married? Yeah, but he hadn't been there in 6 months.
What? You're in name only. On paper. Abide in me. What's that mean? Exactly what he's saying. Where is Christ? Where does he dwell?
The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob.
That's where he's in his garden. That's where you'll find him. Oh, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is.
And so much more as you see the day approach. Exhort one another. You know, in a house, two love one another, live in a house together, don't they? Oh, how I love Psalm 84. Oh, I love, love, love. How lovely are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. He says, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. David said, I just want to stay here forever. Didn't he? It's my heart's desire. One thing have I desired of the Lord. That's what I'm going to do. Dwell in the house of the Lord forever till they have to drag my dead body and put it in a box down front. And many we've done just that. They'd be in the pew and the next Sunday they'd be in a box. No, be in glory. Let that be me. Abide. Let every man wherein he's called abide in that same calling. You know, be a member of the body is a calling just like to be the pastor. Yes, it is. God called me here and I don't intend to go anywhere else. I said years ago, I'm not, Lord willing, I'm not going to leave Mindy for a bigger wife. And I'm not going to leave you for a bigger church. I love you. We dwell together. And we all hang around after the service, though. Why? We loathe to leave. We don't want to leave. Someday we're not going to. Someday. We're going to dwell together. We're going to abide forever. No possibility of us leaving. Abide. If you abide in me. And down at verse 7 and 8, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, do you love what you've heard tonight? Oh, the word, that's the word written on the tables of our heart. And you'll ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. What do you will? What is it that you will have the Lord do for you? Would have the Lord. Let's ask Bartimaeus. I want to see. Let's ask the leper. I want to be clean. Let's ask that fellow that came and said, where do you dwell? Come and see. Ask what you will. You see, the Lord, when he does this work in God's people's heart, he makes them willing in the day of his power. It's God that worketh in us both to will and do of his good pleasure. And what we say is like your dad says, every time he prays, every time John Sheasley prayed, he said, not our will, but thy will. Let this be according to thy will. Isn't that our heart's desire? You know, he'll do it. He'll do it. If you ask that way. And verse 8, he says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So yet shall you be my disciples. Let me give you, just run over real quick to verse 16. And we give you some hope. Okay? I hope I've already given you plenty. But verse 16, he says, you have not chosen me, I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit remain. That's my hope. That's my hope. I'm kept by the power. If I belong to him, I will bear fruit. And he'll purge me. And I'll bear more fruit. For the glory. That's what I want. Oh, you want to glorify your Lord, don't you? We really do. The root of the matter is in you, if that's the case. Okay, stand with me.